All right, everybody, it's the man they call Dave, and we are here with the Working Fans Podcast, and today we have a special interview with a guy who's been wrestling about 10 years on the independent scene in California, the MILF Hunter, Minteo Gonzalez. Minteo, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Thank you guys so much for having me. I definitely appreciate the support. I definitely appreciate you guys wanting to take the time and know a little bit about me, my career, and my journey through this wild thing we call professional wrestling, because everyone knows that wrestling, pro wrestling, in fact, is nothing but a roller coaster of a ride.
No kidding, man. I feel like, especially as of late, we've seen that even more and more. You know, this will be about you, but that was such a great way of wording that, because I think about the recent main event at Mania with Cody, right? And that's such a epitome of like a roller coaster following.
Oh yeah,
those legacies,
he had
those
so many highs and so many lows, and you just, it was just never, you just never know when the ride was going to be over.
Oh no, no. And it felt very organic too, which is always the best, right? Like, you know, Roman ends up on this long run, and the guy who left, who happens to come back a bigger star and is now accepted, gets injured, gets this opportunity, then doesn't get it for whatever reason, but then gets it anyway the following year. Oh yeah, he's a bigger star now. And there's, oh, it's the Rhodes and the NOI. It's like, you can't.
This is the story, man. You got to finish the story. This man, you watched Cody Rhodes get turned into a jobber in WWE, and they literally buried this man, but yet this boy still took any gimmick that was thrown at him and made it into gold.
Much like his dad with the polka dots.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, he turned the most stupidest things into the most greatest things and most memorable things that we'll ever know today.
When did you first become a fan of pro wrestling? I'm assuming you were a fan before you got into it.
Oh, absolutely. I've been a fan since birth, man. I was born, I tell everyone, I was born to be a wrestler. I was literally born into this business. A lot of people don't know, I'm actually a second generation superstar. My dad wrestled. My dad's always been a big wrestler, big wrestling fan. And that's kind of like, obviously, how I got into it. Me and my dad, that's how we bonded. Every Monday, Thursdays, I mean, during the Attitude Era, we'd be that people that would literally flip the channel during commercials between WCW and WWE Monday Night Raw, just because we kind of like both. You know, we're big NWO fans, but at the same time, my go-to, my guy, a lot of people are probably going to give me hell for it, but my guy's Bret Hart, man. That man is the most stand-up wrestler, and that man can make anybody look like $1 million. I've never seen this man have a bad match. Even when he had a bad match, you couldn't tell. Bret is just such a technician. He's such a great storyteller, and overall, I mean, wrestler. And that's the whole reason why I got attracted to Bret so much, is because I actually wrestled. I've been wrestling since I was 5. I started out doing collegiate wrestling when I was 5, doing, you know, a little Pop Warner stuff. Wrestled out throughout med school. Got into it in high school. I was a 2-time state champion in high school. So wrestling, when I first got into pro wrestling, the wrestling aspect was all I cared about. Like, I wanted to shoot. I wanted to show you guys, no, this is wrestling. I wanted to be that old school 70s catch can wrestling where we're doing, you know, basically what Bret was doing, you know, arm drags, headlocks, takeover, submission moves, you know, literally bending and twisting their body and contorting them and just putting your body, you're putting your opponent through complete agony. That is just what I wanted to do, because I've always been a stickler on the F word. And I'm not talking about, you know, the F word that most people think. I'm talking about the fake word. That word gets thrown a lot in my business. And what people don't realize is, yeah, it may not be, you know, like UFC or anything, but at the end of the day, it is completely real. We put our bodies on the line each and every single time we step in that ring. I don't know if you know, but, you know, getting slammed on plywood doesn't feel the greatest. Getting slammed on concrete doesn't feel the greatest. You know, falling off a 25 foot ladder doesn't feel the greatest. But yet we do this because we want to entertain you guys.
That's amazing. I usually just kind of go on next one, but I want to cover some stuff because that was so great. One, the Bret Hart thing, dude, I'm with you. A personal note, when I was a fan, much like you, I'm a little older. I grew up on Piper and Snuka with the coconut, first memory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But there was a period in my life, and this isn't to knock anybody, but like, we're during the Hogan era where Hogan kept winning. I was getting older. I found it a little stale. And it was Bret Hart, when I started watching him on that singles run with the Intercontinental title, that pulled me right back in, and it was his matches with Bulldog and Perfect and HBK.
Yeah, I'll just say the match, my first real memory of Brett was his matches with Perfect, because those matches were perfect. I mean, Kurt Hennig was probably the greatest, one of the greatest technicians and most athletic guys. This man can do anything.
So good. And I like what you said about the industry too, in particular, because I saw something recently with Steve Austin where he talked about, it was a quote, I don't know how old it was, talk about when people, you know, criticizing the business. He would say, I would say this, and this is the schedule he was on, of course. He would say, do this every, you know, 300 something days a year. He said, do this, go to the gym, get slammed up and down, go try to eat properly, go try to get to the next town, and just keep doing that for a long time. Tell me how you feel about it, you know? And it's like,
so touching on that, like, people don't understand, fans don't understand. I'm gonna give a little insight. People don't understand the sacrifices that we make as, especially independent wrestlers like myself, just to get to a show. Right. I mean, I live in Northern California, so a lot of the shows that I do, I drive 4 hours to get to. When I go to LA, I drive 13 hours, and that's just one way. And I'm putting my gas, my time, leaving my job, because, you know, I have a 9-to-5. Wrestling doesn't pay the bills. I'm not a WWE superstar, so obviously I'm not getting that multi-million-dollar contract. So you got to do what you got to do. But there's been plenty of nights of sleeping in the car, barely eating Top Ramen, just to make sure that I get it to a show, so that way I can make a quick, you know, $150, $200, whatever it is. And then fans, you know, just take advantage, or fans not being appreciative of the work that we're putting out, because they don't understand the sacrifices I even made just to get there. And that's why, I mean, it's so important, you know, to support your local companies, to support your local wrestlers, buy our merch, buy the tickets. Don't take what we do for granted, because at the end of the day, we're here to make sure that even if it's for those 2 hours, we want you to forget about everything that's going in real life. We want you to forget about your real life for that moment, because we understand that it's stressful. We understand that real life gets hard and people go through things. And sometimes at a wrestling show, it brings people together, because everyone forgets what's going on and everyone's so in tuned with the wrestlers, the characters, the storyline, that they kind of forget about life. And that's one of the precious things about me doing what I do, is being able to give you guys that entertainment and make you guys happy and, you know, touch someone's life, because you never know what that one person is going through.
How did you end up breaking into the business?
So I got into the business around 16, 17 years old. My dad was actually trained for this little indie fed called APW, All Pro Wrestling. I'm sure you've heard of it, being a fan of pro professional wrestling. I mean, it's one of the biggest indie companies down in Northern California. It's, you know, featured on Beyond the Mat back in the 90s with Mike Modest and Tony Jones. Well, Mike Modest actually trained my dad in APW. And so he was doing that, and I happened to just be getting out of school one day, and I needed to meet up with my dad, and he had training, and I happened to beat him to the training facility before. And I'll remember this day for the rest of my life. I called him up and said, "Hey dad, I'm here at the training. I'm waiting for you." He's like, "Okay, I'll be there in, you know, 15 minutes. Whatever you do, stay out of that ring." He did not want me in this business. He did not want me getting into the ring. He didn't want me doing any of that. So me being the rebel 16-year-old kid that I was, you told me not to? Cool, I'm going to press the little red button real quick and see what happens. So unbeknown to my dad, I jump in the ring and decided, here, I'm going to see what this is like. If he can do it, I can do it, right? And so I just started taking quote-unquote bumps. Mm-hmm. And the first bump that I took, everyone just stopped. And we're like, "Oh my God, how long have you been doing this?" I was like, "This is my very first time." And they were like, "Holy hell, you have a natural ability." And I was like, "Okay." And then my dad showed up and he looked at me and he just shook his head. And his trainer even looked at him. He's like, "Hey, this kid's got it. There's something about him. He was meant for this." And it kind of just took off from there. And my dad trained me for a little bit, and then around 2017, I came up to Oroville, California for this company called Pro Championship Wrestling. It's ran by Zach Reeb, also known as AKA Mr. Primetime. Definitely well known here in Northern California. Also, one of his best friends, Rick Luxury. That's another another well-named guy here in Northern California. I went over there to the PCW work farm, and I spent some time there getting trained by Zach Reeb, Mr. Pride Time, and Shoop, Shellhammer, and, you know, Sin. And I spent some time doing there. Some personal things happened in life. I had to step away from a little bit, kind of got my stuff a little bit back together. And here we are back on the road. I'm got back in PCW, and I've just been kind of going ever since.
Have you had any injuries too? Like any major?
Oh, injuries? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you can see, but right here on my neck, I have a big old scar from when I got stabbed in the neck with some light tubes, because I also do what I've been known for in Northern California is deathmatch wrestling. I took, when I first started in my career, that's kind of the path that I took, was the deathmatch style. Now that I'm getting older and, you know, I've been in the business for quite some time, I've kind of laid back on the death matches so much because, you know, your body can only take so much punishment each and every single month you go out there. But yeah, I have had a total of 4 knee surgeries. I've broken every single bone in my body except for my neck and my back. And I probably had about 12 concussions and about the 25 years I've been doing wrestling in general. That's not just pro wrestling, that's just wrestling in general throughout all the injuries.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that says it right there. There's your passion right there, right? I mean, if it wasn't enough, all the traveling, all the injuries and stuff, and still wanting to do this and succeed. I mean, I guess the question I want to ask you most now is, at this point, what are the goals? I mean, is there obviously a big goal? It'd be great to make it on the national stage, but are there any goals before that? Or
yeah, man. Obviously, I'm a realist. I've been in the business for a while. I know that
goals.
Going back to what I was talking about, like I said, my goals are just to run the loop, man. I'm definitely just trying to get my name out there as much as I can, travel the states, meet new people, get new cities, and just, like I said, just keep doing what I love to do is until the wheels fall off. I've always told people, until I cannot walk, I will be forever wrestling. I've been told by doctors plenty of times already, especially after having 4 knee surgeries, I should probably think about hanging it up. And well, I'm telling you right now, I'm too stubborn for that. The only person that will ever tell me it's time for me to hang up my boots is me, because obviously I know my body more than anyone else.
I love the determination, man. I think anyone that hears this can hear the passion in your voice, how much you love this, how much it's been a part of your life. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Is there anything you want to promote?
Yeah, man. Actually, May's going to be quite a decent month for me. I got 2 big shows for PCW. The first show is actually going to be May 11th, PCW's Extreme Aftermath from Oroville, California. Is literally the name of the show. It's called Extreme Aftermath for a reason. It is the aftermath of Extreme Measures, which happened on April 5th. For those of you that don't know, Extreme Measures was PCW's 25th anniversary show. Also, our WrestleMania. It's our biggest show of the year. We sold out completely. We killed it. We had a great show. Now we're leading into May 11th, which is that Extreme Aftermath. And then, you know, just shortly 2 weeks after that, we are going to be putting on a big fundraiser show that we do every year for our local high school out here in Yuba City called River Valley High School. So we're out here. We're going to be doing a show where half the proceeds go out to the River Valley High School Athletic. So please, if you guys are in California, you guys are in the Oroville area or Yuba City area, please make sure you guys go to River Valley Showdown on May 25th, because that is our big sponsorship show. Those are my 2 biggest shows coming up for May. Also, you guys can follow me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all under hashtag MILF Hunter Mateo Gonzalez, especially on TikTok, guys. I got a bunch of cool content. I got a bunch of merch that is out right now. I have t-shirts. I have tumblers. I have stickers. I have women's t-shirts. I have 420 inspired stuff that for only limited time. That is pre-order only. I also have tattoos that you can get my name on, read bandanas, roses. I mean, I got a bunch of merch. I put all my content out there. So yeah, making sure you guys are just following me, making sure you guys are catching up, because I post everything. So if you guys want to know where you can catch me next, make sure you guys follow.
That's awesome, man. Respect the hustle. Mateo, appreciate your time today.